Good afternoon, brethren.
Good afternoon.
Thanks to our Heavenly Father for giving us another opportunity and a great privilege today to come before Him, to hear from Him messages of hope. I want to thank Mr. Moras for that sermonette, and Charlie and Mr. Nefty for the song. So Mr. Moras spoke about hope, so do not be despaired, don't lose hope. And with the song that we just heard, I'll just continue from where they stopped. And the title of my message today is All Will Be Well. All Will Be Well. When you look at our world today, when you look at our environment, our surroundings, all over us, you will see that all is not well. All is not well with our world. All is not well. There is crying everywhere, suffering and pain everywhere. It blows hot today and tomorrow it blows cold. Nothing is steady. That is because of the situation we find ourselves in this world today. But the message of hope that Jesus Christ brought is that all will be well. If we look up to Him, if we continue to trust Him, all will be well. But before we go into that, I want to take us back to Genesis. Let us see how it all started. In Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3 from verse 8. You know, things don't just happen. If you see anything happening, something is causing the action that you're seeing. So if you go to Genesis, it's about, it's a story about Adam and his wife and their relationship with God and how a third party came in. I will start from 8, we know this story very well. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the tree of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked. And I hid myself. And he said, Who told you that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou givest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, and thy conception in sorrow shall thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it. Of it all the days of thy life, thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. The sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. So because the man and the woman sinned against God, God cursed the ground for the sake of man. And God said, it will no longer bring peace to you, it will bring thorns and tails, and you will eat, you will sweat before you will find food to eat. And this is the same God that said in chapter 1, let there be light, and there was light. That said, let the earth bring forth grasses and trees, and it was so. And the same God saying to the ground, you are cursed because of man, and you shall bring trouble to man. But Genesis did not say much, did not break it down a lot for us to understand what this curse means. If you go to Deuteronomy 28:25, let's see Deuteronomy 28 from 15. So this is exactly what it means to curse the ground for man's sake because of our disobedience to God's law. Deuteronomy 28 from 15. Say, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shall thou be in the city, cursed shall thou be in the field, cursed shall be the basket and thy store, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and of the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy king, and the flock of thy sheep. Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of thy wickedness of thy doing, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he have consumed thee from off the land, whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with a sword, and with blasting, and with mildew. And they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And the heaven that is over thee, over thy head, shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of the land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thy enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them, and flee seven ways before them, and shall be removed in all the kingdom of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air, and unto the beasts of the air, and no man shall fray them away. The Lord will smite thee with birch of Egypt, and with emerald, and with the scab, and with the itch thereof thou cannot be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart, and thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoilt evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build an house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and thou shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thy ox shall be slain before thy eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. So these are exactly what it means for the land to be cursed, because we sin against God. So when God caused the land for Adam's sake, the land was going to bring all these problems to man. And this is what we see today. This is what we see in our world today everywhere. We see violence. We see hate. We see adultery. We see fornication. We see suffering. We see pain. We see everything that the land has brought to us because of the sins of Adam and his wife and the curse that God placed on the earth for their sake. Look at what Job said. Job 14. Job 14. Job 14:1. Job 14:1. It's a man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. So Job said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and is full of trouble. That is exactly where we are today. That is exactly where we are today. Troubles all over, pain all over, crying and weeping and gnashing of teeth all over. And if you turn to the book of Psalms 55, Psalms 55. Psalms 55, 6. David was, you know, meditating and thinking about the sufferings of this world and all that he was going through. 6. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. So David was describing the troubles of this world and how he wished he escaped of it, from it, and go to a place of rest. When God curses a land, it simply means that God is giving it over to Satan to punish it and to do it whatever he wants to do with it. So that is exactly where we are today. That is why all over us we see people suffering. Even the people we think that they are not suffering, when we go close, we see what they are passing through. No one can escape the suffering in this world. In one way or the other, we are all affected. In one way or the other, if we continue, if the suffering continues with no hope, then I don't know what will become of man. But Jesus Christ came to bring us a message of hope. And that is what I brought to you today, the message of hope. If you turn to the book of Isaiah 57, 16. Isaiah 57, 16. Isaiah 57, 16, God said, for I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth. For the spirit should fall before me, and the soul which I have made. God said he will not contend and he will not be angry with us forever. He will not contend and he will not be angry with us forever. If you turn to the book of Psalms, okay, I will read 17. Isaiah 57, 17. For the iniquity of his covetousness I was wroth and smote him. I hid me and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways, and I will heal him. So God said he will not be angry with us forever. We have seen our ways. We've gone astray. We've done the things that pleased our heart. But he said he will heal the world. He will heal the land. If you turn to Psalm 103, Psalms 103. From verse 8. Psalms 103:8. Say, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. So God will not keep his anger forever. God will not keep his anger forever. So there is hope. And if you turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9, 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it, and to establish it with judgment, and with justice from henceforth, even forever. So the Bible tells us about a child that would be born. And it said, he's a prince of peace. He will bring peace to the world. He will bring peace to our chaotic world, our troubled world. He will bring peace. And before Jesus Christ came, there was a forerunner called John the Baptist. He came to introduce Jesus Christ and the gospel. If you turn to Matthew 3:2. Matthew 3:1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is that which was spoken of the prophet Elias. So John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Two things. The troubles that we face today was caused because of our sin. And the solution to the problem we face today is the kingdom of God. John the Baptist said, repent. We have to change from our ways. We have to change from our evil ways. And he says, well, the kingdom of God is at hand, which is the solution to the world's problem. And if you turn to 2 Chronicles 7:14. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So God promised to heal the land only who will believe and turn from our wicked ways. And when Jesus Christ came, look at what Jesus Christ said in Matthew 11. Matthew 11, 28. Matthew 11, 28. Say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me with your troubles, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. So Jesus Christ said, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Return to Luke 4:18. Jesus Christ said, Luke 4:18, Jesus Christ said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So Jesus Christ will make all things well. All things. Nothing will be left. All things. Everything. Jesus Christ will fix everything. So from the beginning, when we read it, where we read in Genesis, we found out that Satan was involved. How will Jesus Christ make all things well? We know a lot of processes, but I just want to summarize everything. Jesus Christ will remove Satan. God will remove Satan. And if you go to Revelation 20. Revelation 20:10. Revelation 20:10. And it says, and the devil that deceived the entire world, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So God will remove Satan, and God will destroy death. God will destroy death. And you see this in our 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 25. 1 Corinthians 15, 25. For he must reign till he have put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So God will destroy death. There will be no more death. Satan will be removed. The initial problem will be removed. And the resulting effect, death, will be destroyed. All must be well. It's a must. If you turn to Revelation 21, Revelation 21, if we believe in the scriptures, if we believe that the light that we see today, that God said, called it out, and it was so, then we should also believe everything that we will read today. Because they are the word of God. Revelation 21. Revelation 21. from verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. So John saw new heaven and new earth, where there will be no more pain, where there will be no more sorrow, where there will be no more suffering, where we will no longer see the lame or dumb or anybody deformed, where we will not see anyone suffering anymore, according to the scriptures. Say, I will make all things new. All will be well, brethren. All will be well. If you turn to Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35:1. All will be well, not just for man. For the dry places, every part of the earth will receive healing. Isaiah 35 from verse 1. The wilderness and the solitary places shall be glad for them. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knee. Say to them that are of fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall water break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land spring of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass, with reed and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be found there, shall be there, nor any raven beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion, with songs and everlasting joy upon their head. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Isaiah 65:17. Isaiah 65:17. Isaiah 65:17. For behold, I create new heaven and new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be you glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall no more tense an infant of days, nor an old man that had not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, and the sinner, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. So if you remember where we read in Deuteronomy 28:15 downwards, it said, you will build houses and you will not inhabit them. But here it's saying, and they shall build houses and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyard and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the works of their hand. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass, before they call, I will answer. And while they hear speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains, says the Lord. So God will fix everything. God will fix everything. God will remove death. God will remove suffering. God will remove pain. God will remove short. God will not cut our life short anymore. We'll live and live and live and live as long as God wants it. We'll have eternal life. And there'll be no more war, no hatred, no trouble anymore. That is what God will do. If you turn to Isaiah 11:6. Isaiah 11:6. Isaiah 11 is talking about Jesus Christ and how he will rule. But I will start from 6. So when he reigns, so this is what will happen. Say, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. So we said that this little child refers to God's people. Anyone that humbles himself like a little child, anyone that accepts the word of God like a little child, anyone that forgives like a little child, will be a leader in the kingdom of God. Say, but there'll be no violence in the kingdom of God. I'll start from 7 again. And the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The suckling child shall play on the hoofs of the ass, and the wind child put his hand on the crocodile's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. So everything that we experience today, a time will come when we'll see them no more. God will heal the earth. God will renew the face of the earth. God will remove the curse upon the earth. And when he does that, everything will be well. Isaiah 2:14. Isaiah 2:1-4. Isaiah 2:1. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established on the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. So there will be no war, there will be no military, there will be no weapons of mass destruction, there will be no tanks, there will be no rifles, because there will be peace. No need, because all those things cause pain, they cause trouble. In the time of war, houses are destroyed, businesses are destroyed, families are destroyed. What is the aftermath of war? Trauma. People are in pain. People's lives are in shambles. Those things will not happen anymore when God brings his kingdom. Nobody will cause pain to each other, but we will love, we will cherish, we will watch each other's back. Will be like our Father in heaven, whom the Bible describes as love. And this is hope for all of us, because at one point or the other, we must have found ourselves in a situation of pain, weeping, crying, disappointment. But things like that will be forgotten. There will be no more. Jesus Christ will fix it. All will be well. All will be well. If you turn to Revelation 22, 1 to 9. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of the street of it. And on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, for the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no more night there, and they need no candles, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So God will live with men, God will be with us. Like Mr. Moraz said earlier, don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. No matter what we see in this life today, no matter what is happening around us, no matter what we are going through or what we have gone through before, don't lose hope. All will be well. You turn to Romans 8 from verse 18. Say, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectations of the creatures waited for the manifestations of the sons of God. So God has great plan for us. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Jeremiah 29:11. book of Jeremiah 29:11. God said, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I know the thoughts I think towards you, they are thoughts of good." Even though we're passing through trials now, God's thought towards us is still thoughts of good. Even though we're passing through challenges of life, things that discourage us from following God, God said, "Don't worry. My thoughts for you, they're the thoughts of good, to bring you to an expected end." If you turn to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41:10. Say, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my right hand of my righteousness." So God is telling us, He will not leave us nor forsake us. And when Mr. Morales was giving his sermonette, he quoted John 14, where he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe in Jesus Christ as well." And Jesus Christ said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And when this place is ready, I will come back. I will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you will also be." Let's hold these words very strongly. Let's hold this word very strongly. They are more powerful than whatsoever we are facing. They are more powerful than every challenges that we see. They are more powerful than every discouragement that we face. They are more powerful than depression. Jesus Christ promises that wherever He will be, that is where we will be. Before the kingdom comes, before the time when all things will be well, what should we be doing? What do we need to be doing, brethren? After Moses died, God called Joshua. And look at what God said to Joshua. Because God knew Joshua was going to face challenges. The walls of Jericho. Jordan was going to cross Jordan, was going to fight many battles, just like all of us. We have a lot of battles ahead before God's kingdom comes, before God fixes all things. What do we need to do? If you turn to the book of Joshua 1, the same thing that God said to Joshua applies to us. If we do the same thing, we will be victorious. The book of Joshua 1. Joshua 1:7. Joshua 1:7. God said to him, "Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. These words apply to us today. Brethren, be strong. Be courageous. Be strong. Be courageous. When they came out of Egypt, they needed a lot of strength. They needed a lot of courage. Because they had to pass through the Red Sea. They had to walk on foot for years. No car. No ship. They needed courage. We need courage today. We need to be strong today. They crossed the Red Sea. We might not be crossing the Red Sea physically today, but we will face challenges that looks like the Red Sea. But we need to be strong. We need to be trusting God with all our heart. We need to be standing still and looking unto God to come and help us. This is what we need to be doing while we wait when God will fix everything. On the journey to the promised land, we must be strong and we must be courageous and we must carry each other along. What else? If you turn to John 15:4. John 15:4. Jesus Christ said, "Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me." We need to be strong. We need to be courageous. We need to abide in Jesus Christ. We need to abide in God's word. We need to continually do what he asks us to do. We need to forgive where he asks us to forgive. We need to move forward where he asks us to move forward. We need to stop where he asks us to stop. And if we continue like this, we will see at the end of the road that all will be well. All will be well, brethren. All will be well. If we do our part, God will do his part. God will do his part, and God's part is to make everything well, and he will do it. If you turn to Ephesians 6, don't lose hope, but this is what we need to do at any given time. When we feel like losing hope, come back to this. Ephesians 6. From verse 10, Ephesians 6:10. So finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil days. The evil days is ahead. We have evil days ahead, and we must prepare. We must not act as if we don't know that evil days are coming. But when those days come, let's be strong. Let's be courageous. Let's put on the whole armor of God. Because we will overcome. We will overcome. And God will wipe away all tears if we overcome. And the former things will no longer be remembered. All the pain, all the losses will be restored. Just like God did to Job. Job lost everything, but God restored everything to Job. That is what God will do for us. Don't lose hope. All will be well, brethren. 1 Peter 5:7. Say, casting all your cares upon him. If you have anything that bothers you, like Jesus Christ said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come unto me, I will give you rest. Say, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So we have to be very careful. Like I said the other day, he comes through so many ways. You know, David said, when he was recounting his troubles, David said, if it were a stranger, that would have been a little bit fair. But this is my acquaintance, someone that is with me every time. So Satan attacks us through so many means. He can attack us through our loved ones. He can attack us through the members of the church. He can attack us through our family members. But if we be sober and vigilant like Jesus Christ, we will say to him, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter says something and Jesus Christ said, get thee behind me, Satan. Because Jesus Christ knew Satan was coming through him. So we have to be vigilant. We don't need to fight every time. If we are sober and vigilant, we will not be fighting every time. We will identify the cause. We'll pick it out, Satan, and we will put him behind. These are the things that we should be doing while awaiting for God to fix everything. This is how we will cross the Red Sea, our own Red Sea. This is how we will cross our own Jordan. This is how we will fall the walls of Jericho before us. This is how we will fight the battles that awaits us in the future. If we will be courageous, if we will be strong, if we will put on the whole armor of God, if we will be sober and vigilant and casting all our cares upon God, I can assure you, all will be well. All will be well. If you turn to the book of Psalms 30, verse 5. Psalms 35. The book of Psalms 30 from verse 5. And it says, for his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Let's take these words to heart, that God will not leave us nor forsake us. In Isaiah 43, he says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the fires, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And the Bible says again in the book of Romans, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. Nothing. no condition, no situation, as long as we will stand strong, as long as we will do what Mr. Mora said, do not lose hope. Do not lose hope. All will be well. Do not lose hope. All will be well. So, brethren, to conclude, I just want to recap all I said today. That suffering started when man sinned against God and God cursed the land. And Deuteronomy 28:15 tells us what it means when we disobey God and go our own ways. All those curses we see there, those are the things we face in the world today. But the Bible says that God's anger will not endure forever. God's anger will not endure forever. And he gave us Jesus Christ, who said to us, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I will give you rest. And Jesus Christ will give us rest because he will remove Satan that deceived the whole world. The man that causes, or the spirit that causes all the troubles and all the misunderstanding, all the hate, everything that we face in the world today, he will remove him. And God will destroy death. And as long as we believe in Jesus Christ, we will have everlasting life. And I read in Revelation 21, where he said, "I make all things new." Isaiah 35, where he said, "We will build and we will inhabit, and we will not, our days will not be cut short." And Isaiah 65, Isaiah 11, Isaiah 2, where he says, and he promises, and he ensures us and enforces it, that all will be well. All will be well. Only if we will overcome, if we will be strong and courageous, if we will look up to God and trust in him, if we will put on the whole armor of God and be strong in God, then weeping will only endure for the night. But we are expecting the joy that will come in the morning when the kingdom of God comes, when Jesus Christ returns.